ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fans of all ages, it's your favorite time of the week. You might need to brace yourself and grab a cold beverage. Mark and Scott are ready to drop some college football betting knowledge on your ass. The boys are back and ready to help you find some angles to beat your book, impress your friends, and get you ready to enjoy the greatest sport on the planet. So sit back and enjoy, because we're damn happy to have you. Welcome to the Crazy Sheet.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Mark, and I am here in the podcast studio. We are excited to be talking about the ACC. Scotty, as always, is out on the road, just dialed in, ready to talk some football in the low country that spans all the way up to the upper state, western New York. Scotty, how the hell are you?
Man, I am great. I am excited about little ACC football. I actually like the ACC more than I think some teams do. So I enjoy, some people do. I enjoy this league. It's a fun league to watch. I don't think there's very many great teams, but I think it is. I think the ACC needs to get Miami back. We need some swagger wagon back. Clemson's Clemson, but we need Miami to really push that deal forward. A lot of the teams have kind of taken a step back, but I enjoy this league. A lot of times it's not about high-end quality for viewing enjoyment and gambling fun as much as it is just fun football to watch. You know, that's kind of – the Pac-12 was like that for years, and we're going to get to them later. Man, it is – oh, I mean, this league creates some great, great games.
Oh, yeah. There's some good storylines, even going into this season – I'm excited for the ACC. It's kind of funny when you start looking at the over-under lines, where people are slotting everybody, how this whole thing's going to roll out. You've got some big roster turnover in some spots. I personally think the ACC is wide open. If you go look at the over-under win totals, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are nine teams slated between 6 wins and 8.5 wins. And so you've got a big, fat middle class in this. It kind of looks like my stomach these days. A big, fat middle class that's in there. Clemson still being the cream. Miami looks like they're trying to get there. But there's some great storylines in the ACC that I look to dive into. On a college football note, just on the news perspective, I love what came out today out of Dallas, Texas. In the Boulevard Collective, which is a group of SMU alumni, announced that they are doing something similar to what Tech's doing. In a sense,
fabulous.
They're going to pay every player on the team, plus they're playing the basketball team, and they're each getting $40,000 a pop. And the guy that's running the collective, you can go read this in The Athletic, he was very upfront with letting us know that, look, we're not going to get left behind in this arms race. And SMU's already done this once before, and we can be good at it again. And so I thought that was
It was awesome. That's the reason I say, I think, you know, and look, I'm a Mississippi State guy. This scares the hell out of me. This arms race scares the hell out of me, because it is not, it's no longer about fan base passion and about facilities and all of those things. It is about money.
Oh, yeah.
The Bulldogs lose on that deal. I mean, that is, there's no two ways to slice it. Bulldogs lose on that deal. And they are closer to a MAC Sunbelt team money-wise without SEC TV revenue money than they are an SEC team. That's the reality of the deal. And, you know, Vanderbilt is very much the same way. SMU is one of those teams that money-wise, when they start, you start dropping checks, you got some dudes that can drop some checks, you know. And I'm telling you, college football is in for a seismic shift.
I agree with you.
I think we're headed towards, I can't say it enough, I think we're headed towards an employee-based model, salary caps, those kinds of things. And I don't think people like college football nearly as much as they do right now, but we'll see. I mean, I have a lot of questions. I've a lot of questions about how hard kids are going to work, who's signing to get money up front, then transfers. What do we do with the transfer portal? All of those, man, this is a slippery slope. And I just, man, I got to tell you, I'm glad I'm selling furniture. And you hadn't heard me say that very often.
I'll tell you an interesting story that happened firsthand to me. So I live about an hour from Kyle Field, north of Houston in the Woodlands. And this week, the school started football practice, and we had a new kid enroll in school. He's a 6'3", 275-280-pound offensive lineman named Warren Nolan, whose older brother was the number one defensive lineman in the country, who enrolled at A&M this fall to play football for them. And I had mentioned to one of my Aggie friends that I'm sure this was part of his NIL deal. And they looked and they looked at me like I was crazy. And I go, what are you talking about? It's like, well, they can't get paid until they're on campus. I go, what kind of altruistic bullshit are you believing that you think all these number one players in the country decided to come to A&M? And then they sat them down and said, okay, let's work a deal out. It's like, yeah. I'm like, guys.
My brother's going to move from Ohio to Texas, wherever he's from. You know, I mean, just a, I mean, that people are dumb enough to believe that.
It's
you. The average fan doesn't have any idea what's going on.
No.
They don't have any idea what's going on. It is, I'm telling you, it is the Wild West. How much, as we're talking about the ACC, are you thinking Mac Brown's thinking, damn, I should have stayed at ESPN right now?
Oh, man.
I mean, because the landscape has totally changed. And look, North Carolina's got the money to compete. I mean, look, Jordan can throw – and I don't mean Michael himself. I mean the Jordan brand who sponsors it can throw as much money at these guys as they can, which I think is a, candidly, is going to change the TV revenue, the facilities, the all of that. Money is so about to change direction. Like the facility building in college football and college basketball and college baseball is dead ass over. What you got is what you're going to have for the next 25 years unless something changes on a salary cap level, whatever. Because if you build a you spend $30 million building a baseball stadium, you're a dumbass right now. Take that $30 million and give it to kids.
Well, LSU did because that with their
that's
baseball.
That's what's going to get you players.
Yeah.
That's what's going to get you players.
So, Scotty, that being said, let's dive into the ACC. And we're going to start on the Atlantic side of this conference. It's kind of top-heavy in here with Clemson and NC State. Obviously, NC State represented this last year, but we'll start with Clemson. This is a funny team. If you ask anybody about Clemson last year, they would tell you that they had a really off season, except for the fact that they won 10 games, and the games they lost were Pittsburgh by 10, they lost to NC State by 6, and they lost to Georgia 3-10 opening game of the season.
NC State in double overtime.
Yeah, and so Clemson was not as far off as what we thought we've seen. But if you dig into this a little bit, this is an interesting spot. We've saw this happen at Florida with Urban Meyer. We saw this happen at Texas with Mack Brown. Is once you climb to the top of the mountain, people start plucking away those assistant coaches. They start pulling out your coordinators. Dabo comes in here. Dabo has been vehement about the transfer portal. You know, once you commit to Clemson, you can't go on any more visits or they won't honor your deal. He doesn't like to bring in transfers. He's trying to, you know, promote the culture and everything that's within. And kudos to him for trying to do it different and create that Clemson-type environment that's there. But this team this year, you know, they've relied on this defense the last couple of years. And their defense is going to be nasty again this season. I mean, it's going to be really nasty. But I think this team is going to come down
I think this defensive line, I think it's front seven.
Yo.
Maybe the best in the country.
It's sick if you go dig into it. But it all is going to come down to DJU. If you go back and you watch the spring game, he was not very accurate. He wasn't great last season. He said he's going to work on his body to lose some weight. I have read some reports, but – don't know we're going to get there. Then you've got the five-star freshman Cade Klubnik from Texas that's up there with this squad. And I wonder how long it is that they're going to wait to see, are we going to have to pull the kid? Their schedule sets up really easy. Georgia Tech, Furman, La Tech at Wake before they play NC State on October the 1st. They most likely will be undefeated going into that game, and whoever wins the NC State-Clemson game will probably determine who wins the Atlantic. But when I look at Clemson, their over-under win totals 10.5. Still too high for me, because you've got some games in there like NC State. I think even at Wake could be interesting. Wake's defense could be better. They got to go to Florida State, and they got to go. They got to go to Notre Dame, and then they've got Miami.
They play 3 out of 4 games on the road at Wake, at Boston, at Boston College, at Florida State. The NC State sandwiched in between the Wake and Boston College games. Hell yeah, this is too rich for my blood. DJ's got to be a better quarterback than he was last year. He's got to be able to extend the field, spread this field, be a better quarterback. If they're going to win all those games, and they got to win all those games to me, or at least 3. If they, I mean, they go 2-2, and then you're at Notre Dame. That's a little struggle. Louisville's going to be a better team. That's at home. Miami's going to be a better team. South Carolina's going to be a better team. Yes, you end with 3 home games, but I think a lot of these teams have elevated themselves over where they are. I hate this September 24th to October 15th stretch on their schedule, and I think that could be – and here's the real thing. Do they play flat after that 4-game stretch against the Cuse? And I don't think Cuse is going to be that good. I don't think they're capable of beating them. But I just think this schedule, the way it shakes out, sets up bad for them. They clearly ought to start 3-0. I think their defense is good enough to beat Wake Forest, even though I think that game's going to be really good, because I think Wake's going to be able to score like they always have. And I think Wake's defense is better than it's been. But I think this NC State game's a dogfight. At Boston College sets up as a trap game for them. At Florida State is a gigantic game. And then, of course, at Notre Dame. What I hate is when you look at the ACC, I think, at Boston College, at Florida State, at Notre Dame, at Wake Forest, those are all upper echelon teams in this league. Is it easy to lose 2 of those games? Sure. And then you got some really good football teams at home as well. So this is too rich for my blood. I don't like it. I can see a 9-3 and Clemson being a good football team. I'm not positive. And I think people are going to think I'm crazy when I say this. I'm not positive Ungalele is the quarterback when they play Syracuse.
I wouldn't be surprised. If he doesn't show something in those first 3 games, I think it'll be a quick trigger.
See, I think he looks great those first 3 games. And then if he can't be better down the field than he's been, they're not going to beat Wake Forest on the road, I don't think. And I don't know if they're going to score enough points to do it. And look, I know they beat this team pretty badly last year, 48-27. Home and road is different. I do think Wake's defense is going to be better. Change of coordinator is a good thing for them. So, anyway, I can see them losing it. At the end of the day, I still think Clemson's the best team in this league, but I think that over-under number of 10.5 is a little too good for me. I can see them being a 10-2 football team again.
First bet I have on the season, week 1, take Clemson -20.5 to beat Georgia Tech, that opening game.
Oh, they're going to gas. They're going to gas can them.
I think they're going to come out. I mean, they're still stacked at running back. And even if they got to put Klubnik in garbage time, I think they're going to let him play. I think they're going to run Georgia Tech out of the building. Get you a 20.5 before it gets to 21. That game will go, mark my words, the spread will be over 21.5 before kickoff that Monday night, because that's the last game on the schedule.
Mark, you're good at 24, but you're just giving away money at this point. They're going to gas can Georgia Tech.
Moving on.
That defense ain't going to let Georgia Tech score.
I don't think so. Moving on. North Carolina State. This is my team I've got favored to win the Atlantic. Vegas has got them slotted at over 8.5 wins. This schedule at East Carolina, that's going to be a great game to open the season. These two schools hate each other. Charleston Southern's an easy win. They got Tech coming up there, UConn, and they're at Clemson, Florida State, and Syracuse, blah, blah, blah. This NC State team is set up really good. They have done one heck of a good job building a roster. They've got Leary's coming back at quarterback. He's got a chance to be a first-round draft pick. There's a lot of hype around him. If you go dig into his numbers from last year, most of his passes were shorter passes, not a lot of air yards. So he's getting the ball out, distributing it, letting him go. Defensively, this team is going to be nasty. They gave up 20 points a game last year. I think the front seven is going to be just as good as they were last year. They bring back a ton of people. I think they bring back like 18 or 19 starters off of the squad. And I look for NC State to still feel like they're the underdogs and feel disrespected. You got to realize this team for years has had a chip on its shoulder, not just against Clemson, but against North Carolina and the Florida States. And so even though everybody's looking up at them now, I still feel like this team plays with a little bit of chip on its shoulder. And I like for NC State to be a top 10 team. I know last year we were big on them at over 7.5. I like their over-under win total at 8.5 this season.
I agree with you. I think they're a 9-win football team again, possibly 10. I really like this team. This team was better than Mississippi State last year, in my opinion. They did not play as well as I expected them to play. But you know what? This team has gone out and beat teams. I think the difference is non-conference, they're going to beat Texas Tech at home. And that's the difference in this record, because I think they likely lose at Clemson on the road. I know we just talked about Clemson. Is it a game they can win? Sure, 100%. I think they pick up a win against Miami at home. But I think they pick up a win against Wake Forest. But they probably lose a couple of games as well that transfer on the road. Dave Doran was almost fired. Has really answered the bell after that 19 result, 8-4, 9-3. I think he's a 9-3, 10-. I don't think Devin Leary gets enough credit for the kind of quarterback that guy is. I watched every play of that Mississippi State game last year. He threw some balls they should have caught. Guys just dead ass dropped him. He made some pretty good throws in tight windows, tough spots, and he didn't get the reward he deserved. I like Leary. I think he's a better quarterback than most people give him credit, but I think this defense is going to be nasty. I mean, just nasty.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Louisville, moving on. Make sure you say it right. It is not Louisville. It's like you got a bunch of marbles in your mouth and you just drank a bottle of bourbon. It's Louisville. Interesting squad that you've got here. I cannot figure this team out, man. I was big on these guys when they brought in Satterfield. They've kind of middled around. They let their offensive coordinator go. He blows. He's at Colorado now. But, you know, they bring back Malik Cunningham, who scored more touchdowns rushing last year than Kenneth Walker. He averaged 6 yards a carry. And I think he also threw for over 20 touchdowns last season. He's like one of the first players in history to ever do that. This offensively, this team should be really good. They've got a ton of people coming back. They brought some transfers in. I think this offense is going to be sitting good. Defensively, this team gave up 28 points a game last year. And that was what cost them, because they just could not win if they got into a shootout with anybody. Their schedule is fair, but at 6.5 wins, I'm kind of a sit and watch to what we're going to get the first couple of weeks out of Louisville before I'm going to dive in and probably try to pick off some games along the way with this team. Because if their defense is short up just a tad, I still think this team's going to score in the 30s every single week, and that's going to give them a chance to win, because a lot of these ACC defenses aren't that strong.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm passing on this team. You look at their wide receiver core, and, man, it's littered with JUCO guys. They could sign a running back, transfer from Tennessee. They've got guys coming in from, Central Arkansas. I mean, that guy's top of the depth chart. Man, you really think that these dudes are going to win at Clemson?
No.
Well, guys, I just don't think they got that kind of skill level. I mean, they are getting wide receiver transfers from Miami. Lots of new guys on this. This is one of those teams that, candidly, you don't know what you're going to get. You know, their centers are transferred from Virginia Tech, coaching change. I mean, there's just all kinds of guys, and that's their only non-returning starter on that offensive line. So I look at this team, and it's a miss. I think Satterfield's a really good coach. I think the Louisville job is very, very difficult. I'm going to pass on this team. Hard pass.
Next team, Florida State, the Fighting Bobby Bowdens. Mike Norvell, God bless this guy, comes in, takes in over COVID, only wins three games that season. He's already on the hot seat. Then last year doesn't really have a great season, loses that game at Notre Dame to start the season that we all watched on TV that was incredible, and then went on to lose three games in a row. Could not get this team back on the rails. But interestingly enough, I went and looked at some game grades. The power rating for this team in the first six games of the season, the first half of the season, they ranked 59th out of 66 Power 5 teams. In the second half of the season, they ranked 36th out of 66 Power 5 teams. They made a huge improvement as the season went on. They also settled in on a quarterback in Jordan Travis, and he is fun to watch. This kid is super athletic. But again, this Florida State team, 6.5 wins, the over-under. They open up with Duquesne, which they should roll. And then they've got LSU on Sunday night in the Superdome.
That's going to be such a great game.
Over under, I mean, that game lined at 3.5 already. Then they get the bye. They're at Louisville, you know, Boston's College, Wake Forest, NC State, Clemson. Their schedule's manageable for an ACC schedule. Over under 6.5 wins. I am cheering for Florida State to get over 6.5 wins, but I am not going to be betting my money on this. I'm looking real hard at this LSU game to see, is there going to be some value there? Because if they could win that game, that's so much momentum for this team to get started. And maybe they can keep this thing rolling because the front half of their schedule is pretty manageable. I mean, they could easily be five games in and be undefeated if they can get by LSU that opening weekend. And so I'm at a coin flip. I've got them in Louisville right at 6.5 wins, and I think that's the exact right spot they're supposed to be.
Yeah, it's this Florida State team, I listened to an interview with the athletic director, and he is making comparisons to Norvell of, you know, look, and it's obviously related to his previous jobs and things like that, to Bob Stoops and, you know, guys. And I'm like, man, I hear you, but I understand you're trying to look for something. Bob Stoops didn't go 3-6 and 5-7. And I just think that Norvell's got to win. His job's on the hot seat. And I think there are still holes in this roster. At the end of the day, I like it when Florida State's good.
I do too.
And I hope they regain. And I hope I am wrong. I'm hope Mike Norvell and this team have got to show me something that I haven't yet to see. And at the end of the day, I'm out playing well for a game and rallying like that Notre Dame game. Milton comes in after Travis gets hurt and almost rallies them to a win. And then they lose four straight after that, after they lost that game. That's just not something that instills confidence in me. I mean, they beat a bad Miami team later in the year by three. They beat UMass. I mean, Carolina had kind of was a very disappointing team, you know, but then you look and like they beat Syracuse, they beat North Carolina, they beat Miami, and they beat Boston College. When you start talking about Florida State doing that, it's a team that will be bowl eligible, went 5-7 doing that. And I just have no confidence that this team is anywhere near it where it needs to be. They have been abysmal on the offensive line. They do have four of five starters back. And I do think that could give them an opportunity to be better because they have been so bad up front. But at the end of the day, Florida State's got to show me.
I would agree with you. Wake Forest, interesting squad. 8.5 is their over-under win total. This team performed fantastically last season, going 9-3 with losses to UNC, to Pitt, and also to Clemson. This is an interesting squad, man. Dave Clawson has done a great job. They've implemented the RPO. Sam Hartman's come in there, and he does one hell of a good job with it. This team scores in bunches. They run at one of the highest tempo paces in the country. Where they struggled the last year is defensively. When you run an RPO, you're pushing these things out there. I saw this at Baylor firsthand when Art Briles came in and implemented it. And if we didn't score 45 points a game, then we couldn't win the game. And that's where it sat most of the season with us. Clemson, at Florida State, Army, Boston College, Louisville, NC State, NC, blah, 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 blah. So, really, they only play what I think is going to be one really strong defensive line, and that's Clemson. But I do think offensively a lot of these teams have gotten better, and their road games are in conference I do not like. At Florida State, at Louisville, at North Carolina State, I could see them losing all three of those games. So 8.5 is a little rich for my blood, but I would not be surprised at the end of the season if they win 9 games again. But you're asking them to do something they didn't even do last year, because last year they won 9 games, but it was through the bowl game. And so I think this is a pass for me at 8.5, but I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. And I still look for betting some overs in the first half of these games, as well as for the whole game, because it's going to be nuts how many points this team's going to try to put up every week.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. We're in Clawson's 9th year here, and in the last 5, he's only gone over 8.5 once. So it makes it easy to sell. I think they go over, but I ain't putting my money on it, waiting on it for 4 months. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bet what I was betting, that they're going to gas can Bandy's ass on the road. That second week, I'm going to get paid. So that's what I'm planning on doing. And I'll tell you, I also think that Liberty at home game is a big-time deal, because I don't think Liberty's going to be able to keep up with a new quarterback. And so, look, this team can score. Mark, this team scored 42, 41, 35, 37, 37, 40, 76. It scored 70 against West Point, against Army. 55, 45, 45, 27, 41, and 21. The 27 and 21 were the only two games they lost, and you talked about the defensive lines. That was the key. That is the deal. Holy shit, this is a 6-6 football team in the SEC, because they've all got good defensive lines.
Yeah, I agree.
But the ACC doesn't. This team can score lights out if you don't get pressure on Hartman. I think they're lots of fun to watch. I think they're going to be lots of fun again. But I agree with you. I think the road games switching make a difference. But I think this is going to be a lot of fun. They got a lot of players back. I think they score. It's a little rich for my blood. I think last year they overachieved slightly, and I don't know if they do it again. If I had to guess, this is a 9-win team, but it's a little risky.
Next one we got, Scotty, let's go all the way up north to Syracuse. Dino Babers. Man, this has been a weird fucking team. First off, they come in when Babers gets there, and they're running the RPO, slinging around the yard, same thing he was doing at Bowling Green. That worked for a couple of years. Then Dungy graduates, and this team just dramatically falls off the map. And in 2020, only winning one game against Georgia Tech. A lot of that was due to COVID restrictions within the state of New York. Last year, they come in, and they're going to run the ball more and slow it down. And they went from one of the highest tempo offenses in the country to one of the slowest offenses in the country. They've got a great running back, All-American running back. He's going to play on Sunday. But I can't get there with Syracuse. Over under win total for Syracuse is 4.5, and if you look at their schedule, I think they beat UConn, they beat Wagner, and you can't find me a 100% definitive win on the rest of that schedule, and so I would pass on this or even lean towards the under at Syracuse this year. I just don't think they've got the roster to do it, and unless they catch somebody sleeping, I just don't think they're gonna be able to keep up in some of these games. I mean, they gave up 26 points a game last year and only scored 25 in running the slowest. I mean, they were trying to hide the defense last year. And so I don't know how they're going to get better at it this year.
I love Garrett Schrader. I hope the kid played really hard at Mississippi State when he was there. So, you know, I'm cheering for him. And that is an honest assessment of this team. At the end of the day, Dino Babers has been there 7 years, and the last 5, they're 4-8, 10-3, 5-7, 1-10, and 5-7. At the end of the day, this number's right where it ought to be. He's an average football coach, and they got to figure out how to get across the board. I think that is the bottom line. I'm out on Syracuse. I think they're exactly what they are. 5-win football team, 5-6-win football team. This is not worth any sort of gamble.
The next team, Boston's College. That's what I'm going to call them this year. This team just boils down to one thing, is Phil Dracovic healthy. Dracovic, when they're healthy, they were ranked 38, power rating out of 66 last year. When Djokovic's not healthy and he missed seven games, they were ranked 64th out of 66, and they just didn't have any offense without the kid. He's a transfer in from Notre Dame. I don't know. I don't have any love for Boston College. I might find a couple of spots throughout the season. I think they could get some upsets, but their schedule doesn't do them any favors. I mean, all their road – I mean, at Virginia Tech, at Florida State, at Wake, at NC State, at Notre Dame. They're not winning any of those games. And then they get Clemson and Louisville to come there, and Duke, Maine, and Rutgers are probably their only home wins that they're going to get.
I don't know. I think they win at Tech, and I think they win at Connecticut. I agree with you, Hugh. I do think this is probably right on the money. I like this team. If he stays healthy.
He's good.
Djokovic is a good player. This team was good. We want some money on these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Got hurt. And, I'm not selling on these guys. This is a team I'm going to watch a ton. I will tell you, I think I like Rutgers more than I think every podcast I've listened to, maybe by a multiple of two, because I just like Shiano. I think he's a good football coach. But he's old school, but he's a football coach. And I think this team's going to just be able to outscore them. And then you look at where they are in his third year, 6-5, 6-6, 6-7. He didn't inherit that kind of roster those first couple of years. And so I like Halfley too. I think he's done a pretty good job up there. But this is a year he's got to bump forward. And you look at this road schedule, and it just looks prohibitive.
Yeah, I agree. Let's move to the other side, the Coastal, University of Miami, bringing the swagger back, but they're doing it naturally. If you haven't read yet, the swagger, the turnover chain is gone. Mario Cristobal said we're not going to these gimmicks. It's an interesting team, man. I know we say that a lot. Cristobal, first they didn't want him, then they want him. He comes in. They've got tons of money that has been poured into this program, poured into this roster. One of his good friends is a billionaire down there in Miami that's been backing and pushing this whole thing through. He comes in. Coaching staff-wise is sick. I mean, he's got Kevin Steele, who's been all over the SEC for the last decades, coaching the defense. He's had some great defenses out there. Charlie Strong's the linebacker coach, and he's got Jason Taylor helping out with the defensive line. So he's built a great coaching staff, and this roster's good. They finally found a quarterback last year in Travis Van Dyke. This kid took a lot of big shots last year and looked great. When you look at this Miami team, I think this Miami team has everything it needs to possibly finally turn the corner. I just don't know if I want to stake them at 8.5 in their very first season. They're going to get tested in that first month when they have to come to College Station. I look for that game to be A&M favored by probably 4, maybe 7. Then they get a bye before they dive into ACC play. And they'll be favored in almost every SEC game or ACC game they play, except when they go to Clemson at the end, towards the end of the season. So this would tell you that this is going to be an over squad. There's so much change that's gone on with this coaching staff, with the roster. I'm going to wait and see what we get that first month when they come to play Texas A&M, and I think we're going to find out real quick, is Miami for real? Because I think it's going to be a fantastic game.
Let me tell you something. Look, Cristobal, with the money he's got, is going to be able to upgrade the quality of this roster. It's not even a question. Here's the deal. If their ass can't win 9 games with this roster versus this schedule, then Cristobal's average. Right. And I don't mean this bad. There's a lot of people that think he was average at Oregon. Mm-hmm. That he did not meet expectations. You go on the road and beat Ohio State in that environment and then do what you did last year at Oregon the rest of the way. Seriously, I think a lot of – how the hell does he lose that game to Auburn to open the season? There's a lot of people that question his coaching. Color me in that group, all right? We're going to find out about Mario Cristobal this year, because this roster and this schedule is a 10-2 roster / schedule if Van Dyke is remotely as good as he was last year. And then does that go to coaching?
Offensive line play's got a bit better. Offensive line last year was abysmal.
Abysmal. But again, They still went 7-5. It's a better team. That defense is going to be markedly better, should be markedly better, especially with the coaching, because I do believe the coaching staff's better. I really do, especially on that side of the ball. I like Charlie Strong. Kevin Steele, meh. I think that guy's had some great jobs. He was stellar at Baylor when he was the head coach, I know. But it is one of those things that he's a meh to me. I literally, some of the jobs he's had, I could have drank a 12-pack and coached those dudes. He's had talent running out of his ass at some of those jobs. And so I like him, but I also like Charlie Strong, too. I do think Strong's a really good defense coordinator, but what I think they're going to be is a really good tandem. I really do believe that. And so I think that defense is going to be better. This team has to win this division. If it doesn't, when does everybody – and I know they're paying everybody, but I'm just telling you, man, the paying kids and everything, money doesn't always lead to hard work. And I'm as guilty of it as anybody. There's been times, stuff, and you're like, yeah, man, things are good, you know? And I just think some of these guaranteed deals for some of these kids doesn't equate to hard work, and these coaches have got to figure out how to get it done. And I don't know if crystal ball is ready for that. This team ought to win 10 games. If you're going to take it, you got to take the over.
Pittsburgh, this is a team that you and I are on the opposite side of the fence.
Sell it.
Just about
sell it. Just going to tell you, sell it.
Everybody I've read. Over-under win totals listed at 8. This team won 10 games last year, finishing the season, or 9, was it? Yeah. 9-10 games last season, losing their bowl game after Kenny Pickett opted out. They lost to Miami in a shootout, and they lost to Western Michigan in a shootout, believe it or not. Mark Whipple, the offensive coordinator, has left. He's gone over to Nebraska. You lose Kenny Pickett, who was a first-day draft pick. They also lose wide receiver Biletnikoff, finals or winner Addison, who's transferred out to USC to play out there. They bring in offensive coordinator in Cignetti. The offensive line for Pitt, solid. It brings back a ton of starters, but they're completely changing the scheme. Narduzzi's taking shots already at Mark Whipple, saying that we didn't run the ball enough last year. We left our defense too exposed. This team was one of the fastest pace of play teams in the country for a while. They are going to slow this thing down. They're going to be one of the slowest pace of play teams in the country, is from what everything I've been reading through practice reports. He's not scared to get in a grinded-out game and see if he can hang around, rely on the defense, rely on the running game, and I think that's what he's going to do. Where I look for Pitt, and I've already taken it, the under in the West Virginia-Pitt game opened at 54. It's down to 52.5 as we record this podcast. Go ahead and get your ass on that under. I think that's going to be a I think that's going to be a defensive struggle. And then when Tennessee comes up to Pitt, this is one of the worst home field advantages in the country because they play at whatever Heinz Stadium is named now up there. I think Tennessee is going to blow them out. But unless Pitt can somehow just run through that defense and just keep that offense off the field, I think this is an offense that's not built to play from behind the chains. And if they get down a couple of scores, I think they're going to struggle. And so I look for a lot of unders with this team this season, just because I think that's a game that he's comfortable playing. And I think the defense is still going to be good. And so I'm going under on Pittsburgh. I don't know if I'll go under 8 wins, but I'm definitely going to go look for a lot of unders as the season goes on to play them in game.
I love how everybody just – it's like when you look at this, like everybody talking about Pittsburgh, it's just like Keaton Slovis and a first-rounder – are going to be plug and play. Like, it's just like everybody, they lost Whipple, but they're going to put up those kind of numbers again. Oh, Keaton Slovis. Well, all right. So is Pickett great? Or is it the offensive structure that's no longer in place? I mean, you listen to national pundits talk, and it's like, do you some bitches even look at rosters, coaches, game film? If you think this is an 11-3 team, now I love Pat Narduzzi. I do. Yeah. I think he's old school. Pat Narduzzi coaches how I'd coach. Gets on people's ass, like just pissed, just intense, wants to win, total competitor. I'd probably love that guy if I knew him personally. I do think that's exactly how I coach, exactly how he coaches. But at the end of the day, it ain't plug and play. It's not. Is Kenny Pickett a first rounder and a great quarterback? Or was it an offensive system, neither which are in place, and Keaton Slovis is rolling in to take over? And he's taking over for a guy who, last time I checked, didn't hang up those kind of numbers.
No.
An offense coordinator. So I don't understand where everybody is on this football team. Like, it is just – and Ken Slovis, I mean, hell, did I miss that guy? You know, just hanging up gigantic numbers. He threw for 291 yards in 26 starts. 23-4.
I used to try to convince you he was good, and you wouldn't listen to me, and it was because
I wouldn't listen because he wasn't any good.
No.
And it's like, you know, it's like, oh, it's 68% completion, 58 touchdowns, 24. That's average. That's not Kenny Pickett. And now you've lost an offense coordinator who was a quarterback and could fling it, and hell was scoring when he was the coach at UMass. You know, they couldn't stop anybody. But, I mean – and it's like all of a sudden, I think he's going to come in. Keaton Slovis is going to come in. And because if he doesn't put up picket numbers, this is a 7-win football team. Give me the under. I'm taking the under. I think it's a 7-5 football team. It's my honest opinion. I think they lose to West Virginia. I think they lose to Tennessee. They lost to Western Michigan last year with a damn first rounder and quarterback. He's bitching about his defense. I got a great idea. How about you don't give 44 up and home to a MAC team? I got a great idea. If you want to have a better record, don't blame your offense coordinator. So, anyway, at the end of the day, I think they start 0-2, and then I think it's a grind. Now, I think they also win what is likely 4 in a row, but I think that at Louisville, at North Carolina are tricky games. I really do. And then they're at Virginia and they're at Miami. I think those are the games that send them under. I think they lose at least one of the at Louisville, at North Carolina. They lose at Miami, and they lose another one, whether it's Louisville or Virginia, and they're 7-5.
Oh, good stuff. North Carolina, Mack Brown, the CEO of college football. I cannot believe this guy is still coaching, especially after Hartman graduated. You lose a generational quarterback with North Carolina. Last year, this team came in with so much hype. Hartman was a, you know, we thought of, or Howell.
You mean Howell, yeah.
Howell was looked at as a Heisman favorite. I thought they were going to be good. Everybody thought they were going to be good. They massively underperformed last year. And I thought it was funny at Media Days, they asked Mack Brown if he thought that he was being criminally underestimated at 7.5. He goes, I thought we were criminally overestimated last year. And he goes, so I don't even know what to believe this year. And so he brings in Gene Chizik to shore up the defense, which I think will get better. This team gave up 32 points a game on defense last year. Chiz is one heck of a defensive football coach, and his roster's not bad. And so I do think the defense gets better here. The offense, they're still trying to figure out who's going to play quarterback in this system. Over-under win total, 7.5. I'm going to wait and see. Phil Longo's offense is all about taking big shots. He loves taking big shots. And so he's going to have to make sure he's got the playmakers that can do it. On paper, this thing looks good. Chizik coming in to replace Jay Bateman. He's going to be a lot more physical on the defensive front all the way across the board. I think that's good for them. It'll probably help them get a quicker fix. Their schedule is manageable. They do catch Notre Dame. I mean, they've got Notre Dame coming. I mean, their first three games, Florida A&M, then they have to go to App State. Can you imagine the environment in Boone, what it's going to be like when they show up there? And then they go to Georgia State, which is a tricky Sun Belt team. I think there could be some value there. And then, you know, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, Miami, Duke. I think they'll go 2-2 through that stretch. And then the back end of their schedule, there's a lot of coin flip games for me in that one. Pittsburgh being one of them, Wake Forest being another, and NC State being one they won't be favored in. I'm going to wait and see on North Carolina. This team could surprise me, but currently I think the number they've got at 7.5 is about right.
Me too. You got a half game either way. That's my opinion. I was not a fan of this hire. I misgauged it the first year he took over. Had misgauged it since. This is who they are. They're going to be a mid-level football team. He is got to be miserable with the transfer portal and the NIL. And it's not that North Carolina doesn't have shit tons of money, because they do. It's more of, man, that it is against his style of build relationships with kids, build them up, grow them, the whole deal. The game's changed. And, you know, unfortunately, because look, I like Mac Brown. I've had about three conversations with that guy at various airports in America. And he has always been such a gracious, tremendous guy. I mean, just a really, really good dude. And it's hard not to cheer for him. But at the end of the day, I just don't like where this team is. I think they are middle of the road. You've got you brought over a defense coordinator from Indiana. Yeah, Chiz Consulting, who's been at the SEC office. This just doesn't look good. I mean, Bateman was a great football coach, tremendous football coach. And I think at the end of the day, this number's right on the money. The half game either way doesn't make much sense to me. Can I see this team going 6-7 again? You betcha. Can I see them going 8-4? Sure. Can I also see them going 5-7? Yeah, I can.
All right, last four teams we got in the conference. I'm almost going to jam these up and do them two at a time. Virginia Tech will be where we first start. Brent Pry comes in here for Justin Fuente. I'm almost convinced Justin Fuente might be one of the worst talent evaluators in the country based on
how do you get rid of Hooker? How do you get rid of Hooker?
I don't know. In the other quarterback,
how do you let that guy leave? I mean, it goes to exactly what you're saying of he's a terrible talent evaluator. How in the hell does that guy leave? And I'm like, I mean, he can't start at Virginia Tech. He sucks. I mean, he's not going to be good at Tennessee. Oh, wait. He's a Heisman contender? Because that guy's a Heisman contender this year.
Oh, yeah. I totally believe that. Virginia Tech, real quick, their recruiting ranking is way down from where it was in years past. And that just goes to show what the roster is. If you go read anything from the spring reports, even practice reports now, they've got guys they're moving into new positions just trying to fill it too deep. They've got a couple of walk-ons that are going to see some playing time. Roster-wise, this team is nowhere close to where it needs to be. Their schedule, you know, they're not going to be favored, but maybe three times all year. If you're going to look for something, I think the under 4.5 or the under 6.5 in this one could be a pretty solid bet, because they'll be favored over Old Domino. BC is a home game. They'll probably be favored. It'll be a coin flip there. Wofford, West Virginia will be a coin flip. At UNC, at Pitt, Miami, NC State, Georgia Tech, Duke, Liberty, Virginia. So they've probably got three wins at the back end of that schedule before they play the Hoos at the end of the season. I'm selling Virginia Tech. I don't like their roster. I think that, you know, I think Pry might be the right guy to turn this thing around. We're going to see. But my favorite comment was is when they asked him to describe his defense, because he's the former defensive coordinator at Penn State, he just stated, we're going to be Penn State. That's where we're headed with this thing. And so he's obviously got a plan, but I think the roster is way far gone from that. Moving over to Virginia, the other state school that's there, over under 7.5. They've got two players that I love to watch play football, Brennan Armstrong, the quarterback, and Keaton Thompson, Mr. Do-It-All, wide receiver.
A former Bulldog.
Yeah, I figured you were going to put that in there. Bronco Mendenhall had to step down. Tony Elliott moves up from Clemson to take over this roster. Didn't do much in recruiting. But this roster is 7.5. It's the only thing that they have going for them is they could start 5-0. Richmond at Illinois, Old Domino at Syracuse, at Duke, and then they've got Louisville. So realistically, this team has a chance to start 5-0. That's probably the only way they're going to get to this number. They're going to beat Georgia Tech, and then they probably will lose out, and it'll be a coin flip in the Coastal game as well as in the Virginia, and then at the Virginia Tech game. So I don't know. I would pass on this, but I think this team's going to be a lot of fun to watch, but they've got to do something on defense. They gave up 31 points a game last year, only scoring 34. So they're going to be fun to watch.
See, but... I like John Rudzinski, their defense coordinator hire, coming over from Air Force. This is kind of a smart guy. He's going to have more talent than he's ever had. But that's a team that always had to play good defense. I think that's a really, really good hire for Elliott. I really do. So I like Virginia. Look, if Thompson can make remotely as many plays as he made last year, I like the over in this just because of how much I hate this side of the division. Like, there is a team. This we talked about this in that muddied up Big 12.
Yeah.
That somebody's going to propel forward. That's the same thing on this. I think Virginia, with a returning quarterback, with a returning playmaker like Thompson, they could be the team that propels. If that defense can get a little bit better, they could be the team that shoots that gap. But again, I don't think it's worth the money of having to wait. That's the thing on these over-under numbers. You got to wait for 5 months, and I just don't think it's worth it.
Last two, Georgia Tech. Over-under win total is 3.5. Duke, over-under win total, I think, is also 3.5. I would go under on this Georgia Tech, over-under at 3.5. I've already played it. I played it at 4 a while back. You can't find 4 wins on this schedule. I mean, Clemson, they got Western Carolina, and then they're out of conference schedule. Ole Miss and UCF, they'll probably lose both of those games. This roster is a mess.
And Georgia.
Yeah.
They play Ole Miss at UCF and at Georgia out of conference. Out of way to help your head coach. Your new guy trying to fix, taking over for the damn option. And I have to look for a new coach. Great job, baby. Solid scheduling right there.
I mean, and then they finish the season. 4 out of their last 5 games are on the road, and their home game in there is Miami. So they could – that's why I said, you go find me 4 wins on Georgia Tech's schedule, and I'll pat you on the back. I'm passing on them.
I ain't passing on them. I'm taking the under. I like Jeff Collins. I've talked to the guy, met the guy, but super good dude. He did a phenomenal job at Mississippi State, but more importantly – he's one of those guys that really does have a infectious personality. A lot of guys are like, oh, man, he's full. He's so outgoing. He's so loud. I like the guy. I mean, I think this was such a shitty job. I mean, taking over for a dude who's been running the option. But it's one of those things that, you know, Georgia Tech's got national championships in the last 32 years. They got a natty in the last 32 years. So, of course, you leave Temple to take this job. But it was a no-win situation. And then the transfer portal kicks in, and he's got a stud tailback. He's like, I'm going to Bama. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. These jobs are brutal. Rebuilds are next to impossible now. It is just, man, you better go to a spot that's already got some things in the works, because college football has changed with the NIL and the transfer portal. You don't have a chance to rebuild. And when you're rebuilding, when you get a great player, because let's face it, tailback transfer's a great player, he's gone. He's gone somewhere else. Why the hell is he going to go 3-9, 4-8, 5-7? When he might go win a natty at Bama. That's the deal. It's a brutal deal. Like Jeff Collins, sell on this team. There's nothing good going on.
Next one, Duke. Over-under win totals at 3.5. We don't need to do a deep dive on this roster. We could talk about it. You wouldn't know anybody we were talking about. Mike Elko comes over after being the defensive coordinator at A&M. The Aggies fans were kind of offended that he took this job. Like, why would you leave here to take that job? And maybe they're right. But what's interesting about their schedule is they've got 2 non-cons at Northwestern and at Kansas. And if they're going to get to 3.5 wins, they're going to have to win both of those games on the road. And they even play at Georgia Tech. And so every game that this team has a chance to win, minus Temple and NC, you know, North Carolina, they're all on the road. And so I just can't see them getting there. I think this team, I mean, they won 3 games last year. They weren't competitive a lot. And the three games they won were NC. This is what's really funny. The three games that they won were North Carolina A&T, and then they hosted Northwestern and Kansas. Well, now they have to go back out to both of those places. And you know as well as I do, Kansas and Northwestern are licking their chops at this game.
I've already told you I think Kansas is better. Tons of transfer guys. If anybody listened to that podcast, I actually think that team's it's one of my favorite over-under picks of the year. But Northwestern, this is the bounce back year for them. Look, here's the deal, and I'm just going to give you personal experience. I know Mike Elko's got a great reputation. I understand that doing the things he did at Notre Dame were outstanding. But I'm telling you, I watched every play of that Mississippi State game, and he couldn't have been a bigger dumbass playing as much man-to-man as he played against. There is a recipe for State and Mike Leach. I don't know what it was with Mike Leach at other schools, but you better blitz. You better send three and drop eight because he can't figure it out. And, man, they would get in third down. He couldn't resist blitzing. I just don't tell me how good a coach is when you're not when you're impatient and you go for the big play. Just take what you can get. Take what the other team gives you. Win the game. It's about 60 minutes, not a play, not about a quarter, not about getting sacks, not about impressing anybody. It's about wins. And he was too impatient to do it. I think he's going to struggle with it, dude, my opinion.
I'll give you one quick stat, and then we can move on. So Elko will come in. He'll put his 4-2-5 in, which we talked about, is a very aggressive front that he likes to run. But here's the roster he's got come back. Over the final six games last season, Duke gave up 51 points a game, 605 yards a game, 8 yards per play, and is the worst second half of a season in the past decade of Power 5 football. This defense, they just don't have the Jimmies and the Joes to run what he wants to run on defense, and I think you're going to see him get exposed. The games that they could win are on the road, and those teams that they're playing know that those are games they need to win because they don't have a lot of wins in front of them, and so you're going to get a effort out of these teams when they come to town.
Can I say something for any Aggie fans that are listening to this?
Sure.
If you're offended that Mike Elko left, you ain't going to be offended very damn long because DJ Durkin's a shit ton better.
Oh, I totally agree with that. Yeah, you hired up in that spot. So, anyway, ACC, in wrapping it up, my two favorite plays are Duke under 3.5 and Georgia Tech under 3.5. I think both of these rosters are in bad shape. Some of these tickets, you're going to know if you cash this Georgia Tech ticket pretty early, in my opinion. And the same thing with Duke. I think you're going to know pretty quick once you get to the Virginia game, if they haven't won four of those games, I mean, you can cash that ticket then. So I would go under on both of those teams.
If I had the hook at 8.5 on Penn State, on Pittsburgh, I would take the under. But I honestly think this is 7-5, 8-4 team. So I don't like numbers. I agree with you, but that's my favorite two lines. Georgia Tech being my favorite line in the league. Pittsburgh. Ooh, man, they're close. The hook would make a difference because I think the high end for this team is 8 wins. And everybody's, oh, you're crazy. Oh, everybody I've listened to, oh, you're crazy. Oh, everybody I've talked to, oh, you're crazy. I know friend of mine is a huge Pittsburgh fan, season tickets. You're crazy. We're going to win 10 games. I'm like, I'll bet that shit with you tomorrow. You'll give me 10 wins. I'll bet whatever you want to bet. So confident after that.
It's funny. The other two games we've already played, and we'll talk about those when we get to week 0 and week 1, would be the under in the Pittsburgh-West Virginia game that opening weekend, and then taking Clemson minus 20.5. Against Georgia Tech to open the season. I would say if you're
going to gas can them.
I think that's going to be a big one for that. So, folks, that is the ACC. You can hit us up at @NetMark on Twitter or ScottDenson1. Folks, scroll on down. Give us a couple of reviews. That always helps us out as we move up these charts. We don't charge any money for this. We're just trying to give you a little bit of entertainment and hopefully some knowledge so you can go out there and make a few bucks. That being said, we'll wrap this one up, and we will drop the Pac-12 on you next time we get together. Talk to you soon.